May the words I speak be honourable in your sight, O God, our Maker and Redeemer. Amen. Well, it's a privilege to be preaching today on this first Sunday in Advent, such a time of anticipation, mystery, and wonder as we think about the miracle of the Incarnation. When I looked up the readings for today, I was pleasantly surprised to see a lonely couple of verses from Jeremiah, who I happen to have been travelling with a little in recent times with the help of Walter Brueggemann. If anybody's interested in getting stuck into some of the Old Testament text, I highly recommend Brueggemann as a worthy guide. His passion and enthusiasm for the Old Testament is truly inspiring. So my focus today is on the prophetic task of Jeremiah and how this parallels with the prophetic task of the church today. To do this, I will provide some context and background on the book of Jeremiah, draw out some of the parallels between Jeremiah's situation and ours today, and finally, how we might respond to this. In a nutshell, the book of Jeremiah revolves around the destruction of Jerusalem by the Babylonians in 587 BCE. It's a complicated and multi-layered book containing a mix of poetry and prose, and it's filled with rich imagery, metaphors, and prophetic word. Although it's based on the poetic words of Jeremiah the prophet, the book in its final form has been through a complex process of smoothing and editing. There is debate among scholars about the extent of this editing, but the theological intent is to reveal the person of Jeremiah as a model for what a prophet is, what faith is, and what the people of Israel might become. Chapter 1, verse 10 of Jeremiah summarises the framework. It says, "See, today I appoint you over nations and over kingdoms, to pluck up and pull down, to destroy and to overthrow, to build and to plant." This is a story about judgment and restoration, a common theme for the Jewish people. Babylon destroys Jerusalem and overthrows the Jewish monarchy. According to Jeremiah, the destruction of Jerusalem is a result of the Jewish monarchy's failure to maintain their faithfulness to the covenant that was given to Moses. The leadership was too concerned for their own well-being and failed to shepherd the sheep. This mismanaged royal power, according to Jeremiah, was the single major cause of destruction and exile. As we know from history, Persia later defeats Babylon and enables the homecoming and restoration of Jerusalem. In the aftermath of destruction, building and planting takes place. Yahweh's sovereignty was re-established and the people of Israel returned to their own secure land. And this is reflected in our reading that we heard a little earlier. "These days are surely coming, says the Lord, when I will fulfil the promise I made to the house of Israel and the house of Judah. In those days and at that time, I will cause a righteous branch to spring up for David, and he shall execute justice and righteousness in the land. In those days, Judah will be saved and Jerusalem will live in safety. And this is the name by which it will be called: the Lord is our righteousness." This promise indicates that although the leadership has failed its people, God has not abandoned the line of David. When those in power practice justice and righteousness, the city and the land will be healed and saved. This happens as a result of their faithfulness to the covenant. The dominant theme in the book of Jeremiah is this concern for covenant faithfulness. The promises announced by Jeremiah are not guarantees of continuity with the past, but the possibility that new life can emerge. The writers of Jeremiah were looking to imagine the restoration of Jerusalem in a radical new form. Jeremiah's call left him at various times anguished, dismayed, depressed, yet hopeful. He judged what others valued and discerned a future when those around him couldn't. The prophetic task was to help people face up to what was happening and reveal new possibilities. This is particularly relevant for us today. We are living in challenging times, and we need prophets who can speak the truth and inspire new hope. And Jesus was the ultimate prophet, as we know. Like Jeremiah, he was put on trial because he confronted the leadership of the day and spoke truth to power. Jesus speaks and enacts the holy word of God in ways that pluck up and tear down. He challenges established mindsets and practices in order to plant and build new ways of thinking and being. Jesus is the word of life that shatters all forms of idolatry and makes new community possible. And this is the great hope of the Advent season. In the midst of death and chaos, there can be hope for new life. The call of the gospel in our world today is urgent, subversive, and it's dangerous in a society that seems headed towards destruction. Our faith calls forth an alternative vision to the violence, consumerism, and self-interest that seems to be dominating our world. The prophet Jeremiah faced and entered into a situation not unlike our own. He warned the people that destruction was coming, but they didn't seem to notice, to care, or were unable to act. When the Babylonians attacked Jerusalem and destroyed the temple in 587, it brought an end to the Jewish monarchy as they knew it, and everything seemed to change. Some of the people were exiled, some migrated, and others stayed in Jerusalem under Babylonian rule. It signalled the end of life as they knew it, and this meant that the Jewish people would need to reimagine their identity as the people of God. Now, I think this has some parallels with the situation facing the Christian church in the West today. The church is facing a predicament. Declining membership, serious challenges to financial sustainability, and an increasingly uncertain role in a post-Christendom world. Although Western society has been shaped by Christian values and teaching, we're now multi-faith and multicultural. The church is increasingly marginalised from its public life and is struggling to connect with contemporary culture. If we're honest, younger generations have little affinity with the Christian faith and limited knowledge of the gospel. As my 17-year-old niece told me the other day, most of us are atheists, you know, and that conversation actually happened in terms of talking about her and her Anglican grammar school in Melbourne. And she was very keen to tell me that we were all atheists, though, so we don't want to talk about that God stuff. As it was in Jeremiah's time, there are many different views about why life in the community of the faithful is experiencing this disruption. Some believe the church is being punished for losing its morality. Others blame it on secularism and pluralism. Some think we have simply betrayed the gospel. And others believe we have failed to adapt our methods to our surrounding culture. Whatever one's view, modern-day prophets have been warning of this for some time, and are urging us to pay attention to the signs. Unfortunately, as we know, the church as an institution resists change. As a result, we are seeing all sorts of reactions across the church. Complete denial or blissful ignorance, widespread grief and despair, development of many programs to attract people back to church, or for many, a complete departure from the faith community. None of these responses are surprising in this time of uncertainty. There are literally hundreds of books being written about this predicament, and this has been, as a lot of you know, a primary part of my master's studies this year and a focus. I've recently written an article called New Wineskins for the Vintage Gospel, which has just been published in the latest St Mark's Review. Like many others, I believe that the church is currently experiencing what we might call a plucking up and a tearing down of our established institutional forms, mindsets, and practices. In my article, I argue that new wineskins are required to carry the vintage gospel to this generation. Now, the heart of my argument is that unless we reimagine what it means to be the community of faithful in the world today, we risk losing the vintage wine of the gospel altogether. Many of you may be sitting there thinking she's really overplaying her hand and being a little bit over the top. Because look at our community here. It's great. We're vibrant. We've got a few people. All is well. It's true. We're very blessed here. This is one of the best there is. It's a wonderful, inclusive and vibrant community. But that's not really what I'm getting at. What I want us to think about today is about all the people we know, our family members, our friends, our neighbours, our associates, all who have no connection with the Christian faith or a sense of hope and a future. Our society has been so conditioned towards consumerism and hyperactivity that there is little room left for the matters of the soul. And I think this is a serious issue that we as a church need to grapple with. Despite this, the Holy Spirit, as always, is alive and well. God is birthing a new vision for a new life and a new way, and is raising up a new generation of prophetic leaders. I have met many over the last couple of years, particularly in my travels this year in the US and the UK. Christ is renewing his church, and there is a convergence happening that is bringing together the best of the old and the new in what many call ancient future faith. I believe this is the way forward for us. There are communities of faith around the world embedding themselves in local neighbourhoods and reimagining parish life. An inspiring book called The New Parish describes how this is happening, and I highly commend it to all of you. There is also an emerging shift towards formation and discipleship across the church and a renewed interest in contemplative practice. What I'm really excited about, though, is a wave of new organisations who are training and empowering the next generation of prophetic pioneer leaders. These leaders are embracing the subversive call of the gospel and finding new ways to live this out in the world. But this isn't just a job for those people. Some people do have a prophetic gift and they must live that out. But we must all be prophetic through our lives. In everything that we do. In our homes, in our workplaces, in our local neighbourhoods, in all of life. People need to see that we are, as some people call, a peculiar people, a different people with a different vision. This is what the story of the Incarnation is all about. God took the risk, put on human skin, and entered our world to show us what it really means to be human. Jesus showed us how to live together, and we are the carrier of this narrative in both word and in deed. More than ever before, we need to be a people who dare to dream and live a better way. It is the task of the church to suffer, to speak the truth, to challenge, to face exile, and to find hope. Just as Jeremiah did, we must call forth an alternative vision for our society where the new can be made possible. This is our call and our destiny as the body of Christ. I'd like to close with a prayer for us. Loving God, you broke into human history and became flesh in the ultimate act of vulnerability. As we travel through this season of Advent, may we be a courageous and prophetic people who through our lives will be a sign and a witness of hope and new life. Through Christ our Lord. Amen.